Okay. Hi everyone, welcome to our podcast channel Marketing Minions, where we call industry experts from different domains and talk about marketing and branding. Today we have with us Sonali Karande Brahma, who is a brand consultant and have around 30 years of industry experience. Hi Sonali, how are you?
Hi Pooja, thank you, I'm good.
Yeah, you know, before starting anything, I would like you to give a brief description about your journey so far, about, you know, how much you have worked in the industry.
Sure. So, yeah, like, it's been 30 years of experience and a long journey. Exciting, though, there was never a boring moment. No. I have been witness to a lot of changes in the industry. So, right from the time when they used to say that print would be dead, TV would be dead, copy would be dead, then content is king, digital is king, gig economy, creator economy, and now AI will rule the world. So, you know, all these changes, it's been like a wonderful, I would say, roller coaster sort of journey. And I have been working with brands across industries for different media and internationally as well. I have also been working on personal brands along with business brands. And that's what makes my journey beautiful because, like I said, never a dull or boring moment in this world. So what I actually do is I create powerful stories for brands. And this is the world of advertising, writing, strategy and creative. So that's what it is all about. And I'm at a juncture today where I can happily say that this is where my purpose, passion and profession meet.
That's an interesting journey, Sonali. So, you know, what role does the storytelling play in branding and why is it so crucial in modern marketing?
Right, great question. Storytelling, Pooja, has been around for centuries, actually. If you remember, we have heard stories about, you know, human beings back then, so our ancestors, so to say, sitting around fires and exchanging stories of the day, right? So storytelling has been probably one of the forms of entertainment for the human race. And along the way, it has evolved to, you know, what we say is the modern form of marketing.
Right.
So as human beings, we actually love stories. And if we are able to weave these stories into a brand's narrative, then the audience also loves it. Because stories have the power to help us visualize and, you know, place ourselves in those stories. And it gives us a sort of a fuel to dream and to hope. And because of these stories, we also learn a lot of things, which we know that which is going to help us live better lives. So, which is why in modern marketing, if we associate these stories to, you know, a story of hope or happiness or dreams coming true, you know, what we typically call as, you know, the fairy tales, then they play a huge role in modern marketing as well, because through these stories, we are able to capture the audience's attention and make them feel connected with the brand at a deeper level. So that's the power of storytelling in modern marketing.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked about that, how it is very important for the brand. So can you share the fundamental principles of crafting a compelling brand story if you talk about?
Right. So, see, the principles of story, you know, of storytelling will remain the same. For example, if you remember when we were in school, we used to write these essays, right? Even for the essays, similarly for the stories, there has to be a start, a middle, and an end. And there has to be a hero in the story. Now, if you look at brand stories, then to create a compelling brand story also, you need a start, a middle, and an end. Now, what is this start really? So this beginning of a story is what we call in today's term as a hook, or something that can capture the attention of the audience instantly. So that is a start.
then you start building the story, which is the main body or the substance of the story, which is the content. And then the end of the story is actually what we call in digital terms as call to action. Right? So if the brand narrative is built into a story with a start, middle, and end, and the hero of the story is the customer and not the product or not the brand, then what happens is it becomes very easy for the audience, that is for the customer, to place him or her in that story as the hero and then see how that story is changing his or her life. Because the audience can connect to that story in this way, at this level, it becomes fairly simple to for the brands to get the audience to behave in the way they want them to behave. So, for example, if there is a call to action that the brand wants to, you know, say, get the audience to visit a particular site, okay, or let's say the audience should be picking up the phone and talking to somebody at the brand's end, right? Then the kind of story that you generate helps the audience to respond in that manner. Okay, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
Now, what happens is, I think the top of the mind example that comes to my mind here is, there was a campaign that Parle G had done in somewhere in the middle. Actually, it was quite a few years back, you know, where they say G mane genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the associates, now what happens is if I really, generally top of the mind recall that I have about the brand story is that the way consumers probably took it was that there were lots of kids who, Parle G was a go-to biscuit if a kid was hungry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was glucose, it could give you energy also. So typically when kids come home from school at around 3:30, they have a glass of milk and let's say Parle G. And after which a lot of kids actually sit and study and then they go out and play. So that glucose, you know, which leads to creating the genius in your child, which was probably, validated also, is what caught the attention of the mothers. Because the target audience was not the kids, but the mothers, right? Because mothers decide what to give the child to eat. So the connection of that G to genius was actually a genius stroke of genius, I would say.
Yeah, right.
I mean, my opinion, entirely my opinion. See, today there is a very different way in which we look at, you know, glucose and bakery products and all, which are considered fairly unhealthy today. But this is a time that I'm talking out, you know, quite a few years down the line.
Yeah, Sonali, I have eaten Parle G like anything.
So, because it was a go-to biscuit.
Yeah.
Hamesha ghar mein hota hi tha. It always used to be there. And yeah, and mothers didn't have to cook a special something. It was a quick snack on the go.
Yeah.
And the very fact that they associated that G was like fantastic, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was where the story actually began.
Wow, interesting.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, and the hero of the story for the mothers was the kid, right?
Kid.
In
yeah.
that, if you look
not
at
the
it.
Parle G biscuit. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fantastic. And then the mothers got the hope that, okay, chalo, I'm. See, one thing, you know, Pooja, I always know this for a fact that one of the four guilt groups, mothers are the biggest guilt group. So mothers are always feel guilty about something or the other, especially about the fact that, am I giving enough time to the child? Am I feeding him the right things? Am I, teaching him the right things? Am I raising him well, etc., etc.? So with this kind of association, at least Parle G managed at some level to take off the guilt of the mothers.
Right. I love the fact that how easy you explained the storytelling, that it's like how we used to write simple essays in the school time.
Exactly.
Okay, it's so tough of a job. We think about it so much and we forget.
Story,
It is,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And another point you highlighted, that the story, the hero should not be the product, but the customer.
Yeah.
So
customer, yeah.
That's really some amazing insight. And you talked about a great example also, I think so. On that note, can you think of any other example where you love the storytelling effort of the brands and what were the outcomes according to you?
Yeah, see, again, there are some examples that are just fantastic. Like, you know, you look at Fevicol.
Yeah.
So Fevicol has come up with some amazing stories. I think the award-winning campaign... that was that this guy who was, you know, waiting to catch fish and he just applied a bit of Fevicol and the fish got stuck to the bait. You know, that was one superb story of Fevicol. Then another story I remember is Google. Google actually came up with this TV campaign of two bichde hue dost. I mean, two lost friends because of the partition. You know, India and Pakistan.
Yeah,
and their grandchildren went through Google and search marketing and all that and were able to trace the friends. So two grandchildren based out of India, one in India, one in Pakistan, decided to reunite their grandparents after years. And they are successful in doing so because they took the help of Google. And that was the Google TV commercial. And that was a fabulously enacted story also. So the plot was great. The story was great. The actors were great. And the execution was great. So that is one story that I remember. Talking about brands, there are two more things I would definitely like to mention here. You know, Nike has done a fabulous job of storytelling.
Yeah.
So essentially Nike, although top of the mind we think that Nike is more about sports shoes and it is only for athletes, but that's not the case. Nike has been trying to build a brand for ordinary people like you and me who have a dream in them to be good in sports or good in athletics or even fit and healthy. So what Nike makes us believe, you know, ordinary people like you and me believe, is that we all can do it. It only takes the first step to do it. And that is why the Nike tagline is just do it.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the TV commercials of Nike, even if they feature all the major sports persons, the essential, the gist of the TV commercials or the story is that you can do it.
Yeah.
So that is the power of storytelling, you know, that Nike has been using. And then coming down to more recent examples is, you know, the Mumbai police, you know, that's a page on Twitter, that is X today. So on X today, Mumbai police have got some fabulous storytelling happening. So what happens is, you know, you should really go to their Twitter page and look them up. Mumbai Police, the agency that manages this particular brand, Mumbai Police, is doing a great job because the brand behaves like a human. So whenever the conversations are happening around whatever issue or whatever cause, the people who are conversing on behalf of the brand are actually thinking like normal human beings would. And that is why that page is really getting eyeballs. In the sense, everybody is appreciating the kind of brand conversations that are happening on that page. You should really go and take a look at that, Mumbai Police. And there's one more I would definitely like to talk about is Liquid Death. Now, this is something that maybe you have heard about, maybe you have. But Liquid Death is a normal canned water brand, right? But it has become a cult brand. It started, the thought started in the 2000, in the year 2000 for the founder Mike Cesario, but it actually came to fruition a little later. Now, what the whole thing about this Liquid Death, it's just plain simple water, which is packaged in aluminium cans. And what they are talking about is that, you know, when you are thirsty, you need water. You don't need an energy drink. But the way they have packaged and marketed this water is incredible. And this is a big case study that we can find on the net. You know, a lot of people have covered this case study. And there are three pillars to the story of liquid death. They target the young ones here. First thing is a very, very weird sort of a name, which is called as liquid death. Okay.
Yeah.
Then there is a logo which they use, which is called, which has the skull in it. Again, weird. The taglines that they're talking about is murder your thirst. So they have twisted it to suit the current generation's interests or, you know, likes. And the packaging is also, the font that they use is also suited to the current generation. Their TV commercials or their content is totally entertaining. And another major pillar for their brand narrative is social impact. Now, how do they do this? The fact is that they don't use plastic bottles or plastic cans. They use aluminium cans. And that is the way they are saving the world from plastic pollution. So this brand has been built on three pillars and they have got about 8 rounds of funding to date. Their sales are growing exponentially. And the brand is about to become a cult brand like you had you have Harley Davidson.
Wow, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. This is a fantastic story, you know. So these brands that I mentioned just now have been, able to pull off their storytelling in a very, very innovative way, as well as in a way that totally resonates with the audience.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, you have talked about different brands and you touched upon Parle G, where they dealt with the major emotional connection with the audience, that how mothers crave for something good for their children. And so, you know, yeah. On that note, how can brands better understand and tap into human emotions in their narratives?
I'll tell you one thing. What has happened over the years is that emotional differentiation is the only way brands can differentiate, okay, or create stories on. Earlier, so many, many years back, there was functional differentiation. So what do you mean by functional differentiation is that feature-based differentiation. So can I say that, okay, my fridge, for example, has got the vegetable tray up on the top and not at the bottom, so that I don't have to bend and break my back every time that I need to pull a vegetable out. That is functional differentiation. So there's a different feature in the fridge, right? In the fridge brand called as Higher, they have differentiated it on the basis of the feature.
Right.
But because of this tremendous competition in every category or in every product category, brands cannot really keep differentiating on a feature. Hence, they have to resort to emotional differentiation. So when you have to pick up the right emotion on which you have to build your story on, then all you need to do is deep research. You need to understand your consumers really very well. So your consumers and your customers, if they are one and the same or even if they are different, you need to understand them very, very well. And this can only be done through research, study of consumer behavior and the changing patterns in the mindsets of the people around us. Yeah. So to give you an example, Gen Z today is absolutely decided and they are very, very firm and strong that they will stand for brands or they will stand with brands that have a purpose and that are authentic brands. The moment they find out that a brand is not authentic, they will not hesitate to discard that brand. And research has proven this. And that is why brands are all clamoring to, you know, be as authentic as possible, stand for a purpose, do good to the world, etc.
Yeah.
So the whole story here is that you, as a brand, you need to find out what is it that is sticking in the minds of your consumer and which one out of that you need to pick as an insight to build your story on.
That is
very important.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, Sonali, you have been working from last 3 decades and the marketing industry has changed a lot over the years. Now with digital, social, everything coming in, there is a lot of data-driven insights available. So brands do get confused, like how to include the data-driven insights with the creativity or the human element. So what should we focus or how to keep a balance between all these things?
Right. See, the balance, I'm not sure I would use the term balance here, but data is definitely going to help brands in identifying what really works for the brands, or rather what really works for the consumers.
Okay.
Or the customer. So data will help us understand what works for them.